just sort of wait a minute and see if any of those guys come in. If not, we'll just go ahead.
I have a question while we're waiting.
Sure.
On the Carlos Castaneda books.
Yeah.
Castaneda, however that's pronounced.
Right.
I've read The Fire Within.
Right.
And I just bought The Power of Silence.
Yeah.
Is there a suggested reading order on that?
Shoot.
So I looked inside the cover to see if there was some kind of chronology or something like that, and there doesn't appear to be one.
Well, there is in terms of the order he wrote them in, but let me think about that. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference, actually. They're all quite different.
Is there anything helpful for me right now?
I'm sorry?
Is there any particular one other than Fire Within that might be helpful for me at this juncture?
Well, you said you ordered Power of Silence?
Oh, I bought it, yeah.
You bought it. No, go ahead and read that. We actually used that in a later course, the one I'm teaching now, with the other guys, but I think it's a good one to, in conjunction with what we're doing, because it has a great deal of focus on the use of one's intent and connecting with the force of intent in the outer world, which is something that most people don't even consider, that there is such a thing. So, no, I think that would be fine.
Okay.
And the other books that we find very useful, along with what we study, is Tom Brown Jr.'s books.
I read those years ago.
Did you? Yeah. The Journey and any of those.
Actually, I was living in Colorado when I read those.
Oh, really? Where in Colorado?
I was in Aurora.
I'll be.
I was there for 12 years.
I'll be done. So you all ready to bless candles?
Sure.
Jennifer, you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it together. Child of
one.
Child of flame. Nourish our
protect our aim.
So, Jennifer, what was it like for you walking in my knowing? And what were the day readings and the endings like as well?
I had a hard week. It feels like there's a force going on in me, something trying to come through and something trying to push it back. And I can't seem to unblock it. I've been gritting my teeth at night so hard I'm about to grind them off, and I don't know. That's what it was like.
Well, but talk about what was walking in my knowing like. You're talking about what your week was like. What you're doing, Jennifer, is you're focusing on what you don't like in your life.
But I'm not aware of it.
I'm sorry?
I shouldn't I be somewhat aware of what it is?
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't put your awareness there because it just increases it.
Huh.
I would put your awareness in what happens when you go out and you say, walking in my knowing. And then I would try to fill my life with that kind of energy. But you see, what you did was when I asked you what happened when you went out and said walking in my knowing, you didn't tell me that. You told me what caught your attention this week. And that really has nothing to do with the Navajo Beauty Way, because the Navajo Beauty Way is your bailout. That's what protects you from stuff like that.
See, I felt it was bringing it on.
Well, it can't bring it on. So you misinterpreted something, possibly.
No.
So go back into your experience any time that you can recall that you were outside and you were looking up at the sky and then putting your attention down the earth, and you said, walking in my knowing, I greet you. What was actually going on?
Nothing. I said it and I waited a while. And I could feel it, and I felt like whatever I could set my mind to, I could do.
Okay. So is that nothing?
Well, then with what turned out in the week, it wasn't good.
Well, now wait a minute. Well, what did you set your mind to? You set your mind to being very, very aware of what you didn't like in your life.
I think I like my life.
I don't say you don't like your life. That's not what I said. You were feeling something that you objected to. Isn't that what you told us?
Yeah.
Okay. So that caught your attention, did it not?
Just that feeling.
Okay, that's fine. So that feeling caught your attention.
Well, I'd like to get rid of it.
Well, don't even bother. In other words, it caught your attention. It trapped your attention.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is what you gave mind to. And that is what you created this week. You just told us that you had the feeling when you went out and said, walking in my knowing, I greet you, that you could create or be whatever you put your mind to. And you proved it. But you didn't like it because your focus was on the not liking what you saw, not realizing that you were proving that you can create that too. You can create anything. That's why I said, I suggest that you don't put your focus on that which feels uncomfortable. You already know it feels uncomfortable.
How do you not put your focus on that?
Well, by training your focus.
How do I do that?
Through these exercises. How about if you put up an air omno and put those thoughts outside of your omno?
I did.
But then you, if they came back in, only you could have pulled them back in. Do it again. In other words, it's
trying to be tied to something that I can push out, other than just this crap that I don't feel right with?
Well, you see, this crap that you don't feel right with is just your old beliefs and issues that you've allowed to be in your life for many, many years and perhaps other lifetimes. But they're no more real than that. They can't really affect you if you don't put your focus on them.
But don't I have to identify these beliefs?
No. That's not what we're working.
Beliefs outside the Omnia?
Just anything that comes up that you don't like the feeling of, just shove it outside the Omnia. That's all.
So I'm not associating that feeling with necessarily anything.
Don't have to. Whatever the feeling is, feels creepy, feels empty, feels... If you don't like it, push it outside the omnibus.
Okay.
Don't dwell on it. Don't talk about it. Don't say, I don't like it. Because as soon as you talk about it, you're feeding it inside yourself. I mean, of course, in class you talk about it because that's where we share. But I'm saying when you're standing there, don't say to yourself, I don't like this. I don't like it. You already know that. Just push it outside of the omnibus. And, of course, probably white would be the safest one to use as far as nominal for that. And even this week, try putting up door shields and blocking that stuff and so forth when we talk about that. But that's the whole thing, is that what most people do not understand is just because I have feelings I don't like or thoughts I don't like, that doesn't mean that they're me, and that doesn't mean I have to do anything. I don't have to put any attention on them whatsoever. I don't have to try to get comfortable. I don't have to do anything except focus on something that is useful or significant or of value. It's just a switch your focus deal. So you did have an experience, and that's what you need to honor, that experience. You need to be very aware that when you say, walking in my knowing, that that's what happens, is that you are in your knowing, and therefore, what you focus on becomes very much a part of your vision right then. And you proved that. But just you didn't want that, so don't focus on that. But it's a good experiment because, you know, it takes us all of that until we're actually convinced that's what happened. So Dan, what happened when you went outside and said walking in my knowing?
Nothing hit me over the head right at that moment, but the week has been a culmination of some things that I did know or felt that I knew got reinforced and were more concrete. That I can put those things aside and don't have to examine them or spend time on them anymore. I've pretty much reconciled them, and I can move on and do other things and consider other things. So that was kind of what I thought that the knowing it portion of it was, that what I know has been reinforced, confirmed, and affirmed to be, you know, my truth at this time.
So you find that is what you can trust?
Yes, it's something I can say, okay, this is how it is, done, settled, move on to something else.
Right.
It was something that I had been studying, contemplating for several years and many, many books and that sort of thing.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, it's good to have resolution, particularly when it's in knowing and not in thinking.
Yeah, and it's not even that it's a belief, because it's a truth. It's not even a belief. It's nothing I have to have faith to accept or anything like that. It's just, there it is.
Okay. Well, it's sort of like when Jennifer says, I like my life. That's the truth. I mean, that I found that believable.
And something I would say, Jennifer, is that your life and the quality of your life is in direct relationship to the words you use to describe it.
Well, that's pretty cool. Jennifer, would you agree with that?
Well, I need examples, I guess. I can't.
Okay, I can give you. I can help you out there. Have you ever known of somebody saying, "Oh, I'm stupid," and they keep telling themselves that, you know, when when they're not doing something right. And if you keep telling yourself you're stupid, guess what? That's the way you're going to be. But if you can, it's your life. You create it. You decide what you want, and it's yours. And you just describe it. Not that I am stupid, but I am very intelligent. I can solve this problem. And if you describe yourself in that way, then guess what? You will be that way. But if you describe yourself as stupid or something like that, and use those words, even, you know, just as a, oh, man, that was stupid, I shouldn't have done that kind of deal, that sticks. And you need to describe yourself and your life in a positive manner as to what you want. Because it's your life. It can be whatever you want it to be. The hardest thing about it is just deciding what you want it to be.
Okay.
Actual doing, it's easy.
Jennifer, how did you feel when you told us, I like my life and I can do anything that I put my mind to?
Just something I do.
I didn't ask you that. How did you feel when you told us that?
I didn't feel anything, I don't think.
You're not paying attention then. You're not watching. When you tell me that I like my life, I like the quality of my life, you don't feel anything? You're just empty, blank, zip, nothing?
No, I do like it.
So what do you feel? Do you feel positive? Do you feel negative? Do you feel empty, hurt? Do you feel good, peaceful? What do you feel?
I feel good in it.
Okay.
It might.
So when you say, I like my life, it makes you feel good, right? When you say that. Or positive. Lighter. Happier. What do you feel when you say, I have bad feelings inside?
Confusion, pain.
Okay. So in other words, do you see what Dan was telling you? Is that when we verbalize a condition, we also invoke the feelings that go with it. Just watch yourself when you talk to people. Watch other people. When somebody's telling you a story of a bad thing that happened to them, they probably feel bad, don't they?
Yeah.
When they're telling you the wonderful vacation they went on, or the wonderful evening they had out at the opera or the ballet or at a movie or whatever, a picnic, they probably feel good when they tell you about that. That's what Dan was telling you. It invokes what we talk about and how we declare ourselves. It invokes the qualities of our life. So, Magnus, are you with us?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I've been having a problem with the phone. I think this time I got it first.
Okay, and Randy, you're there?
I've been here.
Good. I wasn't sure. How about Helen?
Helen won't be here this week.
Oh, right. That's right. Okay. So, Randy, what happened for you when you went out and said, walking in my knowing, I greet you?
Well, when I would say walking in my knowing, I definitely felt that I was walking in my knowing. It just felt, it was a certainty and a feeling of trying to think of what I'm trying to say. Let's see.
Did you feel powerful?
Yeah. Well, I felt powerful. Well, definitely more powerful than if I had not said it.
Okay.
If I had not said it, I know how I would have felt.
Okay. So, well, if you said you felt certain.
Yeah, certain and just, well, I don't know. The adjectives are just escaping me right now.
Well, that's okay because you're drawing a picture and the picture is very important. But
what
the picture that I see that you're drawing is just exactly what we've just been talking about.
Yes.
That you affirm something about yourself and therefore that's where you were.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And when we get to the omnals, I can elaborate on that.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
And then what did you notice, say, when you would do day greetings or day endings with that more sense of a connection, say, with winds of knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
And then you tell them, I'm walking in my knowing. Did you get any particular sensation or observation out of that?
Just a seemingly momentary, just more awareness of everything around me.
Okay. So then, from what you're saying, it increases the reach of your awareness.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. So that is useful because there may be things happening in the field of our awareness that we are not aware of otherwise, if we limit that field.
I see what you mean, yeah. And, you know, I feel that there is that my awareness is kind of like, it's really crude. Crude is the way I could describe my awareness, even though I...
Is your awareness crude or the use of it?
That's a good question. I would say my awareness because I feel that there is a lot more out there than I can perceive.
You're correct.
So
it's not that you can know. Let me amend that. It's not more out there than you can perceive. It is more out there than your consciousness is allowing you to perceive.
That's much better put.
Okay. So it is not the problem of your awareness per se, because you don't even know. I dare say that if I asked you to describe your awareness, you would not possibly be able to do it. But if I asked you to describe the use of your awareness, you would be adequately able to do that.
Yes, I would be adequately able to do that.
Yeah, you would be able to tell us that there are times when you don't seem to be in control of your awareness at all, in fact, most of the time. But the fact is that when you go outside and you talk to the wind, or you talk to Sky Father and Earth Mother, somehow your awareness is more in your control.
I'm definitely directing my awareness.
Well, that's within your control then.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
And other times you are not, because your attention and your awareness get caught or trapped.
Absolutely.
That is correct. Okay, so then the fact of this all is that when you co-create your awareness by doing the Navajo Beauty Way, you are more in control of your awareness, therefore you are more in control of your life.
I follow. Yes.
And I hope everybody else follows too, because this is the whole point of this. You know, it's like Jennifer is asking us, and it's a wonderful question. How do I take control of these inner states which seem to run me? And you're right, Jennifer, and I'm not ignoring your plea, but we're all answering that together in the best way we know how. Because there are very few places where you can get any information about this whatsoever. And we are learning how. And yet it will never happen overnight. Because we have lived in a society that does not speak of these things. It does not tell us that we don't own our awareness very well or use it very well. It instead would rather have us take drugs like Paxil to solve the problem, which doesn't solve the problem in any way. Or worse ones, or maybe, I don't know, others anyway. So I think you're all sort of contributing to something about how do we begin to own ourselves, in a sense. This is what it's really about. So, Magnus, what was it about for you? When you would go out and say, walking in my knowing, I greet you.
Yes, it was wonderful. I can describe them in four different stages.
You need to be a little louder, Magnus.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I can describe it in four different stages. In the week, I did things with what I call calculated attempt. I mean, intent.
Yeah.
Things fell into place. I had more connection with people around me, and I was more focused than I used to be.
So then you would also say that you are more in control of your life. And then what else?
It's basically this. When I kind of describe it, it's like things I usually do without thinking about it. I seem to be more focused this time on anything I do, not typically concentrating too hard, but when I do it, it's like, is going to work out. There were times I was in a position to make a hasty decision. I said, no, I have to talk it over with somebody. And one of the views I had in place before I talked to him was exactly the one he chose. And I was surprised. Because I had these choices and kind of intentionally do not want to fumble with the choices or make a mistake picking the choice I would go for. It played out very fine and things working in a miraculous way around my work schedule. There's no way I can really explain deeply, but it was things worked out great.
So are you saying that your life is less mechanical when you do these greetings?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm hearing. You know, and I liked the way you draw the picture of the contrast, that you had a greater degree of choice. Isn't that what you said? And so choice is what it's about. and like that's what we were sort of learning from Jennifer too, that choice as to how I describe my attitudes, my tones, my states, you know, and then it's amazing. I know this all sounds so simple in a way, and yet in another way, I guess it sounds pretty complicated or complex. But what we're all seem to be saying here is that if I describe myself or define myself in a certain way, that's then the way that I find myself. Now, you think that's weird, but I'll tell you something about physics. It says exactly the same thing. And any of you all that have studied subatomic particle physics knows this, the new physics, because when you want to find an electron, if you decide where you want to find it, that's where it shows up. Anybody know about that?
No.
Well, that's what they're discovering. And there's another thing that was discovered that, I won't dwell on this, but it's worth mentioning, that there are subatomic particles, as well as electrons, which have been able to be observed, change their direction or spin simultaneously with other identical particles distal from one another. Up until very recently, they didn't have the techniques to measure it so accurately. They thought there was some communication going on between these particles, which if there were, it would mean that the second particle would change direction a millifraction of an instant after the first one, if it was by communication. And then they developed a way of actually measuring these phenomena beyond any kind of precision we could understand, and they determined that they changed direction simultaneously, exactly simultaneously. And then the question was, how was that possible? Well, the answer, it may blow your minds and be a little hard to understand, is, but they're not actually different particles. They just appear to be different. They're indifferent. It's a question of what they were looking at is what we call non-local reality. We live in a holographic universe, and there is many phenomena that we observe and think are different that actually are the same, seen from a different perspective. So how do you like that for a bunch of words? Anybody able to follow that one?
A little bit.
Yeah, we kind of.
Well, the main point of it is that perception is a tricky affair. And if we want to increase our perceptive ability, we have to take the limiters off. And the limiters are mind. Mind is the limiter. When I see something from only one point of view, that's all I can see. I mean, that's an accurate statement, even though it sounds silly to say it. And so, now this next week, let's see, is it in anticipation or with anticipation? I think it's in anticipation. Let me check. And you think, what the heck is that? Well, that's what I thought when I looked at it, actually. It's in anticipation. Sky Father and Earth Mother, in anticipation I greet you. Now, what could be magical about that? Well, let's find out. But we just said, We just said if I want to find an electron. What?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh. Since my phone is acting up, I'm not so sure if I'm connected all the time.
Okay, well, you're still here.
Yeah. I think it's going to be wonderful because based on what you just mentioned, the last line of if it's in document form, the last paragraph, you see, that is true. We tend to see things in the form of pictures, and sometimes we might be looking at something and think the situation got to be this way.
Right.
While on the other side, the spiritual side of life, something else is playing out,
and it may not be what we think it is.
Yes, it will be unfolding. As a matter of fact, something like that happened to me this week. I haven't mentioned a related issue on the class. I thought it was going good after the message. Then when I was sending message, when I slowed down, it kind of went bad. No, it kind of now gathered strength. I'm unfolding in a big way.
Well, you mentioned that last week, right?
Yes. So, that is true. When we know and with intent now, I believe it's going to grant more.
That's right. That is correct.
What we know.
That is correct.
So how are there any truths if there's all these perceptions?
Well, you have to understand that, generally speaking, our definition of truth is not perhaps very accurate. From a magician's or a shaman's point of view, truth are the operating laws of the universe, okay?
Yeah.
But most other things are simply shades of perception. Because when you assign significance to something, you alter the truth of it, do you not?
Yeah, but where do these universal laws, where do we get them at?
You're studying them. You're learning them.
Truth changes with knowledge also.
That is correct. But we're studying them. We're just not naming them all, Jennifer, right now. We will. You're learning them from the ground up through your experience. But when we talk about that, how you identify yourself verbally and mentally creates the conditions which you find, and then we talk about the law that states that is that the level of my being attracts the level of my life. Or we say, as above, so below. These are the laws. And you think, oh, well, just as above, so below. That's a law, right? Well, that's a law that we're going to take 30-some weeks to understand. Because it's through your experience that you must understand it. So you are doing it. You are in the process of that. You're identifying what is real and what is not real by your experience, and that's the only way you can. There is no truth outside of your experience other than the operating laws of the universe. So then we have to experience them. Everything else is mine. And overlays our perception. But there also are emotions. Well, we'll get to that as we go along. Right now, all we've really gotten a handle on is feeling. I feel this way, I feel that way. It sucks, it feels great. And we haven't even gotten to emotions yet. So, like I say, in anticipation is very important because that's the energy that I use to direct my intent. But let's you all find, instead of my explaining it all to you, let's discover it. Let's discover how that works. But we've all used that negatively for years. Now let's see if we can have a positive experience of it. So then, Jennifer, you've told us a little bit about use of AMLOs, or, well, let's do AMLOs, then we'll do message sending. What else did you do with AMLOs other than around your garden and so forth? I don't know if Randy and them heard you say that, so you might tell a little bit about that, about putting them around your plants and so forth.
Oh, well, I used a clear AMLO at night, and we had frost. It seems like here you just get the flowers growing and real pretty, and about that time you think, wow, my flowers are so pretty, it freezes them and kills them. And we had two nights, and it killed the stuff around me, but it didn't quite kill off my flowers, and I trimmed off the dead ones, and it looks like a few are going to come back. Because around here we get a frost, and then it turns pretty nice, and things could keep going.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah. And the clear I put it on, and then I pushed the frost out. I keyed it to keep frost out. I didn't key it to keep the heat in or any of that, just the frost out from settling on the flowers.
Did you also see the frost bouncing off the unknown?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just kind of... condensing on it or something?
Yeah, right, not being able to get in.
Yeah.
Good, that's good, because if you're trying to push the frost out of the envelope, that would only work if you were in the condition of the frost. But if when you put up the envelope, it's a warm day or it's warmer, you can't use that method to key it by pushing it out, because it's not there. So you have to see the frost bouncing off the omno or flowing around it. Can't get in.
Yeah. But I still had some kill on those plants. It didn't leave them like they were before.
Right. So next time, like I said, try silvering the inside. And there are two ways to do that. Once you put up the omno and you've drawn it before, and then when you key it, see it silvered on the inside. That's just part of the keying process. The other way is once you've actually put up the omno, take your wand and pull silver into the omno and turn around with the omno in a raised sweeping motion, almost in the same position you would for message sending. It actually is the same position. And sort of flare or sweep the inside of the omno with silver.
So do you have to do it clockwise? Or?
Yeah, right.
Is it like you were putting up another circle in there or anything? Or?
You could do it that way, or you can do it, like I say, in other words, you could do it by putting the point of the wand towards the omno, or you can do it by raising the wand up and sort of, instead of almost like putting out a beacon light off the tip, but in a more flood-like manner, and sort of, because the omno will form a blade and sweep. We're going to learn that today. So you can form a blade off of the edge, off the side of the omno, and then you raise the omno up in a sort of a vertical fashion, like you would be before you send your message. And then you turn around clockwise, and you use that energy blade, which would be silver-colored, to sort of sweep the silver onto the whole inside of the omno.
Well, Where do you get the silver from?
Anything silver. Foam mirror.
Okay.
You know, a mirror actually is silver, right?
Yeah.
So you just pull from the silver. Or if you have a silver teacup or a silver pitcher or a silver plate, pull directly from the silver. It's just a color like anything else.
Yeah, but you gave us specific colors, you know.
But that's not the only colors that exist.
That's true, but you say other colors produce altered.
Well, we're telling you now how to use other colors.
Okay.
How to use silver. So now you know how. We started you off with a limited number of colors so you didn't get confused, but now you've got pretty good use of those. Now you can add silver to your bag of tricks. Or you can pull from chrome, right? Chrome is silver colored. If you have, you know, a chrome bumper of a car or something, you could pull from that. So did you put up any omnals around you?
Yeah, I did some white ones.
Okay. How did they work?
They worked really well. But it seemed like I'd get them up and then I'd enjoy them, and then other things would come up then. You know, and I'd push those out too. It doesn't seem like it works good and then it's off.
Well, air, you know, is fairly reactive. That's why I wanted you all to work with these omnals, because it takes a while to really understand how well they work. I've been doing it for some 15 years or more, and I'm just beginning to understand how air omnals work. I mean, more fully, to really get them to work. Mine worked great. I can believe how well they work. They were wonderful.
Do they last long?
A day.
You have to keep putting them up.
Oh, no, I always put them down, take them down at night. That's what the homework said to do, so that's what I did.
But if they're working good, why take them down?
Because that's what we asked you to do. Because you need the practice. You need the contract to see how they work. A period of time with them up, period of time with them down. And that way, if you didn't, then you got to see sometimes the omnals will deteriorate on us pretty quick. It depends. Depends how we use them. So you want to notice that too. How about message sending? Did you try sending messages with your wand?
No.
Okay. My wands have been very effective. I got a great response to the message I sent. So, Dan, what did you do with the omnibus?
Well, I put up one around my vehicle to mark the trip. It is the season down here for what we call love bugs. I don't remember if we had those in Colorado or not, but they're on the highways and they're black and they just coat your car windshield.
Oh yeah, right. Okay.
Particularly bad. And so going over on our trip, I didn't get any bugs on the truck, and then coming back, which was went over Friday, came back today, I got bugs on the truck.
So which time did you have the omno up?
Pardon me?
When did you have the omno up, both ways or just one way?
I just put it up going the one way.
Oh, okay. So you verified that it worked.
Well, apparently so, because I've got to wash my truck.
And did you try any omnos around yourself?
No, I didn't. But I do want to... Something that did happen, that I noticed a tremendous difference being in Biloxi and being at the craps and blackjack tables. I noticed that my intuitive powers have greatly enhanced. I was much more successful than I have ever been before, and I think it was because I was just very, it was just intuitive, and it paid off very well.
And what are you attributing that to?
To these studies and doing the exit rituals and just the heightened awareness.
Well, walking in my knowing would be ideal for that, wouldn't it?
Well, it seemed to work real well.
Well, intuition, Don Juan defines intuition as the, let me see if I can remember, the verification of the connection with the power of intent. The nature of intent, the spirit of intent, I'm sorry. So it is something which happens to us when we connect with the spirit of intent.
There were two particular instances that I just kind of freaked everybody out. At the blackjack table, I got a face card, and as the dealer was reaching for the deck, I said out loud, "Could I have an ace, please?" And twice, I did that, and twice, I was dealt an ace.
That's asking for what you want.
Yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah. Cool. And did you do any message sending?
No, I didn't do that this week.
Okay. Randy, what did you do with Omno?
Let's see, can you hear me?
Yes.
You can hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Good.
I was trying to mute my phone, but I don't think I was able to mute it. I did send some messages. Don't know if I got any responses yet. They still may come.
Okay.
And for some reason, last week, my computer just did not want to play the video clips. It said there was corrupt data or something, which is weird because it played them last week.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't get to see the video on building omnals. I just had to go by the written instructions.
Well, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, but I got confused on the last circle. But I did make them. And
what confused you?
Well, it said kind of circle your wand behind and around and up.
Okay. Do you know what? Let me see if I can describe. Oh boy. Can you see three circles all at 90 degrees to one another? There's only one possible way that you can put up three circles all at 90 degrees to one another.
Yes, I did do that.
That's what an omno is.
Okay, well, I did it right then.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, because, but you understand, when we're describing it, we say reach behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you're starting from overhead, because we gave you that destruction. And when we say come by your right leg, not many other ways you could do it.
That's true. Yeah.
Particularly when we say come down and by your right leg and then back up to the top. Because otherwise, you know, it's like you've done the second circle, which is in front of your two knees. And so there's not a whole lot of other places you could put the third circle unless you want it somewhere out there in space.
Mm-hmm. I guess you could put one on your left side, but
But that wouldn't be in 90 degrees to the other two.
Well.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, come down on your left side, put your whole new one in your right hand. That would be really hard to do.
That would be hard to do.
You'd have to turn yourself inside out.
Yeah.
Well, fine. So you figured it out. That's great.
So, yeah, I ended up, the last 2 weeks I've noticed that I've had problems with my mind, with self-incriminating thoughts, and which would cause feeling bad about myself. And
I hope you've given yourself strict and long sentences in jail.
Yes, it is.
Don't be easy on yourself now.
Yeah. So, when I built my Omnoid, I wanted to put all of that negative thoughts, negative judgments, outside so it couldn't come in.
Now, you wanted to do that, and did you do that?
Yes.
And how did that work?
It worked.
Good deal. Good. Now, I want to suggest something, because your experience is a little different from Jennifer's, because Jennifer said hers kept coming back in, and yours, I gather, did not.
No. Now, I did notice once, a couple times, that my awareness would take effect and notice that when it would start, my mind would start to go there, but then it just didn't.
Okay.
But I noticed when it would try to go there.
Right. Now, one thing that is a consideration, at the point that the mind wants to go there or tries to go there, undertakes to go there.
Yeah.
If you doubt your omnos ability to work, you can override it that way.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that. You trusted your omno.
I did.
Right. And it may be that Jennifer, maybe you doubted your omno. I don't know. Just have to sort of watch and see. So, did you do anything else? That's good. Did you do anything else with your omnals?
That's all I did with my omnals.
Cool. And of course, you know, you can put them around your house or car, other people. I do suggest that you all practice putting them around other people. That's going to become very important.
Put them around other people?
Yes. Yeah, we went over that in class. Would you like me to go over it again?
No. You picture the person.
No, you have to have the person there.
Oh, you have to have them there.
Yeah. Or a car, your car, whatever. This isn't a picture thing. This is an actual thing. But you do it just like you're putting it around you, but you make sure that you see the beam and the ball of energy go around them.
Ah, okay.
You know what a pantograph is?
A what?
Pantograph.
Pantograph?
Pantograph. As in the pantographic arm?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have these games. They were built on pantographic arms. It's like a board with a mechanical arm and two pencils. And one pencil is over here that you use, and the other, or maybe it isn't a pencil, maybe it's a pointer, I don't remember. And you have a little graph or something under the pointer, and you draw it. And then over next door, a little way away, there's a pencil or a pen. And when you draw it over here, down in the corner, it draws it up there, but bigger.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay, that's called a pantograph. And this is the process we're using. We're doing this like a pantographic arm. So you draw the omno around you, ostensibly, but the actual beam is going around them by dislocation. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's how you do it, and that's how you do it around a car. But around a property or a house, you just stand in the middle and extend the beam and draw it around it. Because you can stand in the middle of it, but you can't stand in the middle of another person, and you can't. It's very hard to stand inside your car. Phenomenal. Too much interference.
Yeah.
Cool. So Magnus, what did you do with message sending or with omnos or both?
You know, last week I mentioned something about my, you know, I didn't follow orders to go through the process of keying the wind.
Oh, that's right. You have. Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Have you keyed yours yet or no?
I have not, but it will be ready this week. I know it will make me to go back, you know.
Well, that's okay, but you'll have it ready to key it this week?
I will have it ready to key it this week.
Good. So, I don't know, do you need my help in keying it, or do you know enough how to do it?
I will need your help, and I can read the, you know, the chapter.
Can you watch the video?
Yes, I watch the video.
Okay,
but,
and then if you need additional help, will you call me?
Yes, I will. Is the time I can reach you that may, I don't know, pose a problem?
Well, I'll be home. We're traveling right now.
Okay.
I'm in Taos, New Mexico, and I won't be home until Wednesday morning. Okay. Let's see. Let me think a second. When do you want to key it?
I don't know. Friday will be fine.
I'm sorry?
But it depends on when I can reach you on the phone.
Well, I have another option. Look at the video, okay?
Okay.
And see if it makes it clear to you how to key it. If it does, go ahead and key it. It's really easy.
Okay.
And if you're having trouble with it, let's see. Can you email us and we'll call you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Just email us.
Okay.
I mean, if you could do it within the next couple of days, email us if you have trouble. If you can do it on your own, do it. Because I hate for you to get too far behind.
Okay.
Okay, cool. But we'll get it going. Don't worry about it. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about door shields and window shields, but are there any other questions on what we've done so far with the bond? Anybody wants to ask before we go on?
No.
Okay. All righty. Let me just grab my notes here where I can see them. Okay. So door shields and window shields you put up pretty much exactly the same way. And of course, clear white or powder blue. And it just is a question of what you're using them for as to which color you use. So check back with your color associations, or correspondences as we say, to determine that. But obviously, as Jennifer told us, that if you want to, if it's a temperature consideration, clear is the color. And if it's a memory or mental or attitudinal or opinion or belief thing, it's white. And if it's an understanding thing, it's powder blue and so forth. Okay, look at the video on this because it makes it a lot easier. And there's a video on both on everything we're going to study, on curtains, half shields, sweeping for healing, and on pulling energy with the wand, and on touch assist. And touch assist is one of the most valuable things that you'll learn in this whole course, if you learn it and can use it. It's easy to use, and it's extremely valuable with physical conditions that don't respond well to treatment because they're what's called engrams, or cellularly imprinted, interbulated reactivity of the mental sort. Almost all issues that people have and all disease are caused by engrams. So knowing how to work with engrams is extremely important. And touch assist is one of the very useful ways of clearing them, or clearing the secondaries, which are the emotions and the feelings and reactions attached to engrams. So like I say, do look at those video clips because they'll make it very clear how to do this. With door shields and window curtains, you're basically putting up what would look more or less like a window shade, a rolling shade. What do they call those? You know, those things that you pull down and they cover the window. Not Venetian blinds, the other thing. Roller shades. So you pull energy into the wand, you hold the wand up at the very top of the doorway or window opening with the windows closed and the door closed. And you face your palm so it faces out away from you. You hold the wand up at the right-hand side of the opening and just touch the notch end to the frame so that you hook the energy, either clear white or powder blue, into the right-hand top part of the frame. Shoot a beam of energy out of the tip of the wand across to the other side in that whichever color you're using. So now you've got your top of your roller shade hooked in, all across the top of the door opening and the window opening. And then just simply pull the wand down the whole length of the opening on the right-hand side, keeping your palm facing out, and you unroll the curtain and hook it in at the bottom on either side. And you've got a door shield or a window shield. And then key it, just like you would a nominal, seeing whatever you don't want in, not able to get in, or seeing what you don't want to get let out, not being able to get out, i.e. if you want to hold heat inside the house, see it not going out of the shield, bouncing back in. You can silver the inside of the shield if you want, or the outside. Now, if you're putting up door shields or window shields around the entire house, put them all up and then key them all at once. If you're just putting up a door shield to keep somebody's attitudes or habit of doing out, then just put up that door shield and key it to that specific person. Say you don't want them to come in and, oh, say it's a person who always tells you what to do or how to fix yourself or gives you unwanted advice. Just see that, put up the shield and then see that person standing outside the door, not being able to get in and tell you all that stuff. See them not being able to bring that kind of ways of being inside. And then they won't be able to. And either they will be forced to stay out or they will have to leave that method of dealing with you out. And they work very well. Just be careful that you don't key them against your own stuff, because you're not going to be able to get back in. Any questions on door shields or window shields from anybody? Or how you put them up? Very easy to do. So practice it. Very useful. You can key against insects, noise, smells, smoke, heat or cold, ideas, attitudes, beliefs, opinions, all kinds of stuff. Now, half shields with the wand are very effective. We practice them with the wand because later, obviously, you won't have a wand anytime you might want to put up a half shield, but you can use the back of your hand as a wand, or your whole forearm as a wand, once you've practiced with an actual wand, and it will work quite well. So I'll explain how you do them and what they're for, and then you can use, like I say, your arm as a replication of the wand once you've practiced them with the wand. Half shields are different from an omnil in that they don't move with you. They only work as long as you're standing still. But they're very quick and easy to put up. And it's that same motion that people do in martial arts with their arm raised in front of them, sort of moving their arm across in front of them, with the back of the hand generally facing away from them. That is called a half shield, even though most people that are taught martial arts are not taught what that movement means. They just do it by repetition. They don't know they're doing half shields. There's two types of half shields. There's a convex and a concave half shield. A flat half shield will do nothing. It doesn't do anything at all. There isn't even a shield there. It has to curve either away from you or back towards you. If it's concave, it's sort of like a parabolic mirror or your headlight internal part of the mirroring, not the lens. And it focuses the energy back towards wherever it's coming from. That's what parabolic mirrors do. If it's convex, meaning that it moves out and away from you, then it scatters the incoming energy. So you draw them with the wand. You hold your wand up like you would for message sending, except that the palm is facing away from you. Back of hand is towards you. And you draw it from left to right in front of you, but you want to be sure and extend the whole beam that you get up and down So you actually can backflow a beam down out of the base of the wand as well as up off the tip of the wand, and then you draw this sort of shield in front of your entire body. As long as you stand there, it will be effective. You can shield against someone yelling at you, insults, bees diving at you, wasps, just about anything that will air shield. And like I say, even though in normal usage, you wouldn't maybe have your wand there, but if you practice these, you can draw it with your hand by pulling energy into your arm, clear white or powder blue, and drawing that shield. They're really, really nice, particularly with a convex shield to scatter other people's intention or their energy fields. I.e., if you've got a sort of a belligerent person sort of pushing on you, so to speak, psycho-emotionally or psycho-energetically, and you know, just sort of draw that shield across in front of you from left to right, concave, sort of closer to you on the left and moving away from you and then coming back close to you on the right, it really scatters their intention. It scatters their whole energy field, for that matter. And so they won't be able to focus so much energy on you. They might even forget what they were doing and walk away, so they're confused. It's a nice confusion shield, in a sense. Particularly if you do it, well, in any color, but if they're mentally aggressive, I do it in white. If they're sort of arrogant and feel like they're superior to you, I do it in powder blue. So that's how you use half shields. Now, if you want to increase what someone is sending at you, do the concave shield, because that focuses it back on them, which means it also increases the energy. So they'll get, like a boomerang, they get more of their own energy back. Kind of a little lesson giving. Now, healing techniques of the wand. The first two, sweeping and pulling. Sweeping, generally done from head downward, honoring the body flows, which are from head to toe, head to downward, is best done, the person laying down is a little more comfortable than they can be sitting in a chair, that works, or they can be standing. But generally speaking, the best way is to have them lay down, face up. You need to form an energy blade with the wand, which is very easy to do just by holding the wand in the kind of way that you would to draw the first circle of an omnal, and then whip it down and up. Just one fast movement down to the 45 and back to the horizon forms a big energy blade. I even like to project some energy out of the wand first, like you would drawing an omnal, either clear, white, or powder blue, and then whip it, and you've got this big energy blade, much bigger than the wand. So that when you sweep them, you sweep their entire body and throughout their entire body, too. What sweeping does is it sweeps out any unwanted energies, sort of pollutants, like doing a house cleaning, but out of the entire person. It just sweeps out junk, physically, mentally, or spiritually, depending on the color you use. It's nice to have the person close their eyes, because they're less resistant to it. And if they're laying down, start at the head, go above their head, form your blade by the whipping motion of the wand, and then obviously you've already pulled energy into the wand. Keep pulling energy into the wand from a color source, and then sweep the entire length of their body, the wand being crossing their body and above them, i.e. 90 degrees to the axis, the vertical axis of their body. So you sweep from head down to feet. When you get down to their feet, flick any unwanted energies off of the wand up towards the upper corner of the room, and then go back and sweep again, and flick again, sweep again, flick again. Do it as many times as you need to until you feel like the person is fresher or cleaner. Any kind of pain you can sweep best with clear, in that case, and get the air out that feeds the fire that creates the pain. If a person is struggling with their own worries and thoughts and, excessively, compulsively doing themselves in with their own thoughts, you can sweep them with light and get rid of that. If a person is confused, a person with Alzheimer's perhaps, sweep them with white and powder blue. First one, then the other. If you have specific areas that are loaded with too much air energy of one type or another, you can actually pull it directly out, again in a somewhat downward fashion, i.e. point the wand away from the person and downward on an angle, and using the notch end of the wand towards the person, just look at the color you want to pull out and pull with the wand. Flow the energy out, just like you pull the smoke up around the wand when you were keying it. You pull, in this case, the energy out through the wand and just let it go out into the air. Just don't point it at another person standing in the room. Just point it away from anybody, and it'll just dissipate into the air. Clear white or fire blue. Just the same what you learned about getting rid of excess with air boxes or direct flow, you can do much quicker with the wand. Out of any particular part of the person that you want. Now, as I said, touch assist is a much more specialized technique. And it's very useful, particularly with people that have disowned parts of their body or have mixed messages or any kind of physical, which is obviously then psychosomatic, problem, whether it be numbness, paralysis, pain, excess agitation, shaking, cramping, whatever, or just a blockage. You know, we've talked a lot about, so far in the course, about areas that get ridges or blockages. Or old wounds, spear wounds, someone was bitten half in another lifetime by a woolly mammoth or saber-toothed tiger or whatever. Oftentimes it will create a psychic wound in this lifetime with someone that sometimes then gets physically wounded as well. But they're very hard to heal because they have engrams and other things cellular memories attach. So touch assist is a great way to clear those kind of things. Or after a surgery, when there's numbness or scar tissue or whatever. Or people that have been sexually abused or otherwise abused and often disown that part of the body where they were, say, abused. And perhaps that often is a setup for cancer. Localized often. Problems that are picked up on a pap smear, any number of things. Shutting down the colon, stomach problems, ulcers, gallbladder problems, all of these kind of things can be caused by cellular memories or abuses, and what happens is we tend to disown that part of the body. We're unenergizing it, and it needs to be woken up. Okay, so how do you do it? You use your wand. You obviously have permission, the person wants help. You have them sit down, and you explain what you're going to do. Because there is a communication cycle here that must be met every time you do it. Every time you touch them. And you have to keep it fresh and live. Okay, so say you've identified the area that is in question or problematic. It may not be where they have pain, but you felt for the hot spot of the ridge and you've located it. Or it may be the cold spot in case of where they've numbed out and so forth. Okay, so now you know where the break is, where the problem is, where the stuck energy is, where the blockage is. So you start the process of touch assist above that, head-wise of that, on the head side of it. You never touch the problematic area itself. Never. It would not produce any result whatsoever. You touch them with the notch end of your wand lightly, any place above that. Don't even think about it. Just touch them and say, feel my wand. They have been instructed that every time you do that, they are to say yes. If they do, feel it. And they will. And when they say yes, you acknowledge their affirmation by saying either good, thank you, or right, or great, or some positive response. And you must do that. If you don't do that, you blow the whole thing. You have to do that every single time. And it has to be alive every single time. It cannot be mechanical. It has to be, every time you do it, it has to be like it's the first time. So you touch them 20 or 30 spots above the problem area. Every time saying, feel my wand. Yes, good. Feel my wand. I do. Thank you. Feel my wand. Okay, that's how you do it. You don't, there's no location map. It's not about that. It's about putting focus and attention in a number of places above that ridge. And once you've done that 20 or 30 times, then you start doing it below the ridge, saying the same thing. Feel my wand. I do. Great. And so forth. Another 20 or 30 times. All over, can be close to the area, but not on the area of the break. It can be further away from the area, too. You mix it up, but always do above first and then below. When you've done that, then you ask them, how does it feel? and you will generally find a considerable change. If you need to, then you can go do it again, if they don't get enough change. Above first and then below. But keep it alive. Keep it original. You don't want to be giving them downtone responses because the area you're working on is already downtone. And what that process does is it reawakens the area. It brings their attention, since we've been talking about attention, through anticipation and intent, back into that area and through that area, so that you revive the energy flows and the meridians and so forth. So, any questions on any of these processes? Jennifer? It's clear you probably watched the video already, haven't you?
Yes.
Please, yeah. Dan, any questions?
No, I'm fine.
Randy?
I'll just have to find someone to practice on.
Well, that shouldn't be so terribly hard unless you live out in on top of a mountain or a volcano or something.
No. I can find someone.
Magna?
No question right now.
Okay. Yeah, these are very valuable. This touch assist really, really does some incredible things, but you're going to have to find this out. And you can't obviously do it on yourself, so you do need to find someone to do it on. But husbands or wives are good guinea pigs, and so forth. So, let's see, did I miss anything? I don't think so. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, now of course with these door shields, this is where you can have a lot of fun with people that are somewhat irksome. I mean, you can certainly even, well, I don't know that I would put up a door shield around the, you know, if you work in a big office with a lot of people, unless you, you know, really feel you need to. But certainly your own individual space, if it has a door or a doorway, doesn't have to have a physical door in it even, really. It's fun to see how they work. So, those are the things to play with. And you can continue with all those. I've been putting up every day, take them down, they've been working wonderfully. Very impressive. So, that's pretty much it, you guys. And I'll be in lab Wednesday night for anyone who wishes to come. And Magnus, if you can help, let us know, and we'll just don't forget to send your phone number along with your email so we can have it. I mean, I have most everybody's number, but just always a good idea. And I thank you all.
Thank you.
Great, enjoy Taos.
Oh yes, yes we are.
I bet.
Yes indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys. Talk to you later.
Bye, Alan.
Hi, Randy.